Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right, it's the trade deadline. A lot going on in the world of the NBA. News is moving extremely fast. So we recorded before the latest big trade in the league. The Clippers of Los Angeles have agreed to trade Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, Mike Scott to the 76ers for Landry Shamet, Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, 2020 first rounder, 2021 unprotected first via Miami, and 2 second rounders. So, obviously, I don't get to ask the opinion of Paul, Juice, and Adam, who I spoke to last night, and you will hear on the pod in a little bit. My opinion, I think it's a good trade for both teams. I think the Sixers get their four that you could put with Embiid, Jimmy, Redick, Simmons. It's a solid starting five. And you get a backup center in Boban. He's all right. And then the Clippers, now if they trade Danilo Gallinari, they'll have just as much money as the Knicks, over $70 million in cap space. And I think they have a great chance at getting Kawhi. Hopefully, they don't get Durant. That'll be a disaster. But, yeah. And I think the Sixers have a good chance of re-signing Tobias. So we'll see what happens. All right, here we go.
Jerry Capici, how we doing?
There we go. That's bad.
What's going on?
Oh, man. What a Super Bowl, huh?
Unbelievably bad. Probably, I think that was the worst Super Bowl I've ever seen. Trying to think of, maybe Seattle, Denver was worse than that, but that was brutal to watch.
Yeah, it's a good
brutal. No excitement. Pats won, and I don't know. There was nothing crazy that happened. No controversies really. It was just like it felt like a preseason like game. There's no juice in it at all.
That's exactly the feel I got. It felt like a preseason game. Like,
yeah. I kept on waiting for something to happen, and you know, I was like, oh, if it's a game in the fourth quarter, something crazy. Even like with Goff threw that pick to tie it, I was just like, eh. And I feel like everyone feels like the same. They just knew the Pats were going to come out on top, and you know, something bad was going to happen to the Rams, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and you could see it. You could see it in Goff's face. Like, he clearly was not ready for that stage.
Well, he was shook. Yeah, when they showed him on the, what was it, the national anthem?
Yeah.
I know he kind of always has that, like, blank stare on him, but he looked, I was like, this is over. You could just tell.
He had that nervous.
He looks, yeah.
He was, like, tapping his fingers and stuff like that. I was like, damn.
Yeah. So, you know, Belichick got his, what, sixth ring. Him and Brady, Brady played like absolute garbage, I thought.
Yeah.
Like, did absolutely nothing.
Mediocre.
Now we have to hear about Edelman being a Hall of Famer now. I mean, he's really good, but do you think he's a Hall of Fame caliber guy?
No. I mean, unless he does, you know, what he did this playoff run for a couple more seasons, maybe, but.
Yeah, and he's already, I think he's like 33, so he's probably got like maybe 2 or 3. Well, he's also on the PED, so I don't know. Maybe he's got a few more years. But like, they were comparing his numbers to Welker. Welker like killed him in every single category. He did it for a lot longer too.
Yeah, which is
at a high level,
which is crazy to think about. I mean, Edelman, he's got a pretty good physique to him, obviously PEDs, but like, he just looks more. I don't know. They're both small white guys, so I guess they're similar in that way. But you could definitely tell that Brady and him have such a strong relationship. Like, I think he called him the little brother he never had. Brady was calling Edelman.
Yeah.
Jules.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, it's unbelievable because they could not, like, this is not just this game. Like, this year, like, no one can guard him. And it's not like he's just, like, open by, like, a yard. He gets, like, 8 yard separation from these guys. Yeah. Like, all pro cornerbacks. I don't understand it. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. But I don't know if it's the scheme, it's both, you know, like a combination of it. But, you know, they're not going anywhere, man. It's going to be at least two more years for sure.
Yeah, I think Edelman, listen, I think he's got talent, but I think he's pretty ordinary. I think on any other team, he would not be this good. Because him and Brady are like best friends, I think I said this on the last pod, they go to Montana, I think, every offseason and train with each other. It was also like that Ballers episode, you know, before I stopped watching Ballers. Edelman makes an appearance. He's like on the beach with like someone else.
Right.
Remember that?
He's like, yeah, this is the Patriot way now or something like
yeah,
that.
This
he's
is,
like, yeah,
this is
what
we do.
We do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
But it's true, though. Yeah. I mean, they...
I know, it's so true.
You know, so true. And with him and Brady, they just... They got it down to a science. They read each other's minds, you know? So,
that's... And what about... I just wish that the Rams used, you know, their MVP candidate running back as much as the Patriots used Edelman.
Yeah.
I still don't get it, man. Like, every time he touched the ball, he looked good. So, I don't want to... Like, I thought he probably is, like, dinged up and may have an issue. But he looked good. So, then it doesn't even matter. You know what I mean?
It makes like no sense.
It makes no sense. And they didn't like really, they just stopped, like, they abandoned the run. I didn't like their play calling. I thought they were way too conservative too with their throws. He really wasn't going down the field at all. I think they ran like the same like three plays time after time, and it just was not working. Like, Belichick clearly had McVay figured out, which was you know, definitely expected with 2 weeks to prepare. But I thought he'd show, like, a little more balls and, you know, really just, like, go for it like Peterson did last year. That's how you beat the Patriots. You can't, like, play in fear to them, and that's what so many of these coaches do. It pisses me off.
I know. Well, I saw a clip before the game. McVay went up to Belichick, and I get it. He's, like, half his age. But, like, he goes up to him, and it's just, like, you could tell he was just, like, nervous. Like, he's talking fast and just praising the shit out of him. And Belichick's just like, oh, thank you. You're next, you know.
Yeah. They said, like, this is the most relaxed, like, reporters that have been around the team for, like, almost, like, all their Super Bowls. They said this is the most, like, relaxed they've ever seen him. They didn't even do, like, walk through, like, I guess the day before. Like, they canceled it. They just had, like, a quick, like, five-minute meeting.
Yeah.
Like, they were so confident and relaxed going into this game.
Yeah, even Gostkowski missed a field goal, and they still, like, they didn't blink, you know? It was so easy and so boring, and yeah, here we are. Patriots, six championships. Six. And
of course, you know, as Jets fans watching, I watched the ceremony after, and who the hell made the decision to have Joe Namath hand off Patriot trophy? What? First of all, did Namath agree to that? He couldn't have, like, was he, like, forced to do that? Or is that, like, or, you know, is this signifying? This is it. Now it's the Jets' time. We had to deal with this fucking nonsense one more year, and then, like, all right, that's the final kick in the, you know, cojones, and then, you know, you guys are going to be good next year. Because that was, like, that was bizarre.
Well,
I didn't understand that at all.
My feeling on it is this was planned before the season, maybe. Or before we knew who was going to be in the Super Bowl, they probably asked.
Because it was the 50th like anniversary,
exactly.
Probably.
Yeah, 50th anniversary. Joe, can you walk the trophy out? Blah blah blah. And it just happens to be just happens
bad,
to be our friends up 95. Yeah.
Bad timing coincidence, but
yeah.
Always something with the Jets, man. Just when you think that you can't get, you know, kicked out anymore, is something like that happens.
Yeah, it was a kick in the nuts. And again, I felt nothing after the Pats won. It's just business as usual.
Nah.
They won, big deal. So, all right. So
Now I'm like, I'm honestly like numb to it, and I feel like so many people are now too. It's just like, you know, I still hate him or root against him, but it's like, all right, just go away. Like, you did it. You proved it. You're the best. Now, it's just, you know, let someone else have it their turn.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying even before they won it. Like, I'm just like, they're the best ever. It is what it is. They're going to win. I don't feel anything. And that's just, that's what you have to be like. You can't just get emotional about it. It's like, this is what it is, man.
Do you think KP, Kristaps Porzingis, has the Patriots on his teams he wouldn't sign an extension with, or no?
So we didn't get to, obviously, report on this on the last pod. We uploaded the pod, and what was it, a few hours later, this dominated Twitter for like a half hour. Well,
yeah,
it's still dominating Twitter, but
the next day,
the next day, and holy shit. I mean, so
I thought it was, I was reading it in real time when it happened on Twitter, and I thought like somebody, you know, that that's in the media, like retweeted, how do you pronounce his name? Shams Charania?
Shams, whatever.
He's like, you know, the next Woj or whatever. I thought someone retweeted like a fake account of his. And it's, I was like, what? Like, because honestly, they like, all the media was like, you know, they had the meeting, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think we all thought like, oh, this is typical media overhyping it. About Porzingis like wanting to get out of there, and like, you know, they made it sound like it was like red alert and at MSG, like stuff was going crazy. I don't think we really like thought about it was gonna happen, and 2 minutes later that tweet came, and we're like, holy shit, like, he's about to get traded. It'll happen literally within like 5 minutes. Everything, which is insane. And then it just kept on flowing out with the names, you know, Dennis Smith, blah blah blah. Like, at first they always said Dennis Smith. I was like, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we saw that they unloaded the contracts, Hardaway and Lee, which is good. And eventually we got, like, more first-round picks back. But I was in shock. I'm sure some people were, like, so upset. You know, we'll be talking to Josh later about it. But it like, turned, you know, every Nick basketball fan just, like, upside down.
So, yeah, I mean, it happened so quick to the point where, it's like, we couldn't even speculate about it. It was like, Every second there was a new tweet coming in. Oh, well, this is added to the deal, or this happened, and this, and blah blah blah. And it's still happening. I mean, to, you know, we're how many days? We're almost a week later. What happened last Thursday, and it's Tuesday. So, it, you know, there's still stuff coming out. And the initial reaction from most Knicks fans, you know, was, "What the hell are we doing? Why are we trading our unicorn, our best player since Patrick Ewing?
Why can't we get more? Why didn't we get more?
We're not getting any free, blah, blah, blah." But you and I, we stayed calm, sat back, reflected. You've been a long, I don't want to call it hater, but...
Critic
of KP.
I don't want to sugarcoat everything. I want him to be a superstar, but there are so many noticeable flaws in him that, like, after 4 years, it's like, all right, this is not a rare occurrence. This is a trend, you know, going on. This is what he is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and he's still not playing. Like,
no.
When he suits up in late October, he said it's going to be 20 months without playing in a real game. 20 months. That's insane.
That's insane.
For, you know,
has a player ever been out that long?
Guy. Who's that?
Has a player ever been out that long?
Shit.
In the history of the NBA,
John Wall's gonna have him beat next year.
Yeah, that's true. That's another whole other thing.
But 20 months, and he's 7'3". So
with a laundry list of injuries, I forget who wrote the article. I think it was Kevin O'Connor of the Ringer, and he had the list of injuries he's had since he was drafted by the Knicks, and it is like, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, anywhere from this knee to that knee to this shoulder to stomach illness to... I mean, didn't he come out and say he's anemic or something like that?
Dude, yeah. I remember hearing that. Like, I think it was last year. I don't know if it was anemic or, like, a certain type of, like, anorexia, but, like, it was something where we were like, what? Now he's this? Like, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
He has, like, a severe, like, he has a bad, like, issue, like, being able to breathe, like, after a while. He has, like, extreme fatigue. Like,
fatigue.
It's almost like... Like almost like a pneumonia, like it turns into.
Yeah.
Like, he's that weak. And it always happens, you know, like, middle of December, because he starts out great. You know, the Knicks are, like, 500, whatever. Oh, yeah, they go to the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. MVP Porzingis. And then he just hits a wall, and it just stops.
Yeah.
That happens every single year with him.
Happened every season. And, yeah, it's... You know, and it's funny. It just came out today, actually. Mark Stein, who was, you know, all over the story. He was the one kind of like leaking it at first because he's down in Dallas and he's real in with the Mavericks. But he leaked today in his article that KP had a list of 4 teams, and the Mavericks weren't on it. Now,
right.
It's interesting because Luka's a good friend of his. He trained with him like this summer in Real Madrid. That's interesting that Mavs weren't on his list. Now, 2 teams that they leaked were on the list were the Nets. Of course, you know, like, you know, maybe he does like the city of New York and wants to stay here. And the Clippers. Right. Now, do you remember when he tweeted LA Clippers with like smiling emoji faces and then it was deleted?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that like last year?
So actually, someone posted on Twitter today. It was actually in May of 2017.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, which was right before the Phil Jackson...
exit meeting thing, yeah.
Or was that? Wait a minute. No.
Well, the exit meeting, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, because doesn't the year end in May? Yeah, the playoffs, like, begin in May.
Yeah, so. and then Phil threatened to... Oh, no, but didn't that happen? No, I thought the exit meeting thing happened last summer.
Yeah. It didn't that long. It did. I'm not sure.
It did, because then he didn't have the exit meeting, and then Phil threatened to trade him, and then that's when they fired him. So
yeah,
so it was actually a year before that.
It's tough to keep up with all the Nick drama.
I know. Yeah, I mean, you know, are they the blame too for all this? I don't know. Maybe they handled it the right way.
We don't know the inner workings with the whole brother. It seems like they tried to cater to him a little bit, maybe, but then they were like, you know what? Fuck you, you're just his brother. You don't hold, you know, the Knicks hostage. Who do you think you are? They probably just got so tired of him. And, you know, I think I always thought that he was kind of a bad influence for Kristaps. Obviously, his older brother definitely looks up to him.
Yep.
He probably thinks no matter what he says that it's the right thing.
Okay.
He doesn't probably push back for a lot of stuff either because he's really extremely loyal to him or he actually believes it. It could be one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, which is... You know, not a good thing pretty much either way. But, as they say, the meeting was 5 minutes. And was Kristaps even in the meeting, or was it just the brothers?
I bet it was just Giannis.
Yeah, I know there's a couple brothers. And, on the article, it said brothers, plural.
Yeah.
So maybe he was just there, but I'm sure Giannis was just, talking the whole time. But the interesting thing is they said they tried to flip him, KP, for Fox and Mitchell.
They're
good players, but they're not you would think that those teams would take that, right?
Right.
So that shows you what people view KP.
Yeah, they
either
know.
He's it's a combination of, he's a product of the New York hype machine, injury concerns. He's probably not going to sign here, and you have to deal with that, you know, nut job brother. It's a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, so I knew Giannis or Giannis, whatever. I knew he was his agent. I didn't know he was his therapist, which Rick Carlisle, Mavs coach, said in that press conference.
He's his therapist?
He said, I thought I saw that somewhere, that he said he's his agent and his therapist. I don't know. Maybe I was reading some tweet, some fake news. But what was funny is what you caught during the press conference is when he's brought up by Rick Carlisle, when KP's brother's brought up by Carlisle.
Yeah,
Courtney Lee nudges. I mean, clearly nudges Trey Burke.
It was obvious. I think he did it 2 or 3 times, and Burke was kind of I think Burke nudged him back to be like, "All right, stop, dude. We're on camera here."
Yeah.
And that was an awkward press conference because all 3 of them looked miserable, and KP's smiling. He's taking all the questions. You know, it's obviously all about him.
Yep.
And Tim is just staring at him motherfucker, look what you did.
I
wanted to be
again.
In New York. Yeah. Now I'm here. You fucked up everything, you know, the team, it was fine. This was the plan. I wasn't upset being there losing. That was what's gonna happen. We're trying to build a culture and teach the young guys and, you know, have a positive attitude, blah blah blah. And KP and they were the collateral damage from him and his brother.
Yeah, well, Timmy definitely had to be pissed because, I mean, this was his second time around with the Knicks. Got a big contract. Was, I mean, he's not the guy, but I think he would have been a nice third guy on a team.
Yeah, third or fourth guy on a good, really good team.
Nice chip. So now that he's getting traded again, and it's because of whiny-ass, you know, Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, good thing Trey Burke went with him, who's like one of his best friends. Because otherwise, I mean, he'd probably really be pissed. But it's messed up, and now we won't really be able to fully evaluate this trade for a long time.
No, it's impossible. That's why right now it's all just, you know, we're all taking guesses right now. You know what I mean? It's all about the future. So can't say there's a winner or a loser. You know, we'll know by mid-July probably. You know who really came out with the winner of this trade. Yeah.
I mean,
it's impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Obviously, best case scenario is we get the top pick, they draft Zion, and then Durant and Kyrie or Durant and some other free agent come, and then who gives a shit if KP is, you know, comes back and is healthy and you know, decent. Who cares? I mean, unless he's fucking, you know, top 10 player and
which
the Mavs are on the finals.
Which he's not.
Yeah, it's not happening. There's no way. I mean, I can't see it. I mean, you also were showing me the quote that Jim Boeheim had about Porzingis' defense, which
he's like, he should be playing center. He's not a good defender or rebounder, which not many people notice. They see these crazy blocks and these highlight stuff, and they assume, oh, you know, great defender. If you watch him possession by possession, he's below average.
Yeah.
Like, pretty below average.
Yeah.
Lateral quickness is not good. He's frail. He has no lower body strength. He gets pushed around. And but people, you know, casual fans are really not going to pay attention to that.
Yeah. And that's another thing. He wasn't willing to play center. And it seems like he's still not willing to play center. Like,
and that's what he is.
That's what he is.
Like, especially in today's game, that's what he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah.
I don't know what Knicks fans really want. Like, if they couldn't even get Mitchell or Fox, you know, that just shows you're not getting anyone above them, obviously.
No, obviously not. Obviously not. So you and I, we agree the trade was great. Obviously, you know, you hope things happen for good this summer, but even if they don't, I mean, he didn't want to be here. At the end of the day, he didn't want to be here.
You don't want to be here. Did you see the interview with Mills, like, I guess, during halftime?
Yeah.
He's like, listen, if he doesn't want to be here, and then, I guess, like, there's a date, it kind of comes, like, where he has the leverage. He can get in, like, the qualifying offer, and then he could just leave as an unrestricted free agent. And it becomes, like, you know, the Knicks are actually being held over the fire.
Yep.
And they didn't want to be put in that position. So they're like, you know what, you're not going to dictate the terms. We're going to do it. And if you don't want to be here, fine.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
No, it was a great move.
Clearly, it's not like they just gave up on him after, you know, a day or two, a week or two, a month or two. I think this has been going on for a long time, and they got tired of it.
Yeah.
It's been going on for years, probably, multiple.
Yeah, like that Clippers tweet, that was May 2017. So that was, let's see, he was drafted in June of 2015. So not even 2 years later, he was already, you know, having his doubts. And apparently, you know, Phil and KP's brother didn't get along. So, you know, no surprise there. But, yeah, whatever. He's a cancer out of the locker room now. Like Stephen A. said, you know, they didn't want some guy on the team telling free agents, don't come here, you know?
Right.
So, you know, get him, you know, fuck out of here. Put him in a
body bag. So it is what it is, man. I just hope, you know, we get the top three pick, which we probably should get. I'm afraid we'll get the fifth pick somehow. I think we have a better chance at that, than getting, like, the first or the second pick. Which is ridiculous, but, you know, whatever. Well, that's why I don't mind if they win some games, you know, going forward.
Right. But, like, you know, obviously with the tournament coming up, college basketball heating up, we're going to do the Paul Strader pod where you're going to...
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah, where you're going to lay out, you know, some of the diaper dandies that we don't know about, because I'm starting to get a little concerned now that they do have... I texted this earlier. Now that they do have Dennis Smith Jr., it's like... What's the point in drafting Ja Morant? They're like the same player.
Yeah, it's tricky. Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And then RJ Barrett, I know you're not crazy high on him. And I'm not crazy high on him either. He's got a nice body, but like, he's kind of a chuckster.
The draft is not deep at all.
It's not.
This draft. It's not a very good draft.
I know. So they need Zion.
Which figures. which figures, obviously.
With the trade deadline, I mean, right before we got on here, was it Marc Gasol to the...
Marc Gasol, yeah.
To
Charlotte.
The Charlotte Hornets.
And they said that he's sitting out tonight. They're benching him, so it's obviously
it's
true,
happening.
So,
but we don't we don't know particulars. We don't know. What would you think? Like Frank Kaminsky, Kid Gilchrist,
Monk,
and Monk.
I'm sure Monk would be in it. Yeah.
So those three for Marc Gasol. How old is Marc Gasol?
Maybe.
What was he like 30?
Late 20s. Late 20s, right?
Oh,
or early 30s.
Oh, you think he's in his?
Is he that old?
Well, let's see.
Because he probably came into the league probably young, since he, I don't know. Actually, no, man. Because
he's 34.
He got traded. He's 34. Oh,
yeah.
He got traded for his brother, which is like 10 years ago.
He's two weeks. He's 2 weeks younger than me.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, does it? Yeah. It doesn't do much.
See,
for Charlotte,
I don't get that. If you're Charlotte, whatever, you want to get like another guy to, you know, that's like all star-ish player to put next to Kemba.
Yeah.
But you're not going anywhere with those
no.
two.
No.
Like as a contender, those are the teams that I feel bad for. They always like hit like a peak.
No.
You know what I mean? They're not gonna unless they get really, 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 really lucky.
Yeah.
With like a draft like a draft player turning into a star.
Yes.
Because
small market.
They're not
teams.
Gonna. Yeah. Like they're not gonna get the top free agents to go there.
Like the Supersonics or Thunder, whatever you want to call it. They got so lucky. With Durant, Westbrook, and then that led to Paul George. I mean, they haven't seen a championship from it, but they've been to one.
They should have.
They should have went to another one. Yeah, I mean, you got to get lucky if you're one of these small market teams. Now, let's pivot over to the whole Anthony Davis saga, which I don't know what's going to happen at this point. I mean, the Lakers...
I mean, I get it. The Pelicans, they don't want to... You know, they don't want to do the Lakers any favors. Everyone knows that they want them so bad. So they're like, you know, screw this. This is getting orchestrated by the agents and all that. So they're going to make them sweat.
Yeah.
I don't know if... I mean, I would take that offer. I mean, they offered them everything that they have, literally, for, like, assets, right?
Yeah.
I thought, like, everything. So maybe they're just, like, playing it cool and just kind of, you know, trolling them and get away till Thursday, you know, at the last minute and take it. Or they're legitimately waiting to the summer and be like, hey, what's the rush? You know, we can get that same package in the summer from them if we don't like the Boston or New York one.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which, you know, they might be waiting for the Knicks to get the number one pick. But if we get the number one pick, I'm sorry. I'm not trading that. For Davis.
I am not trading. Zion
as much
is...
as I like him, but
no.
Nah.
Zion is the best college prospect since Durant. So
He was just be amazing in New York.
Yeah.
Everything about
it. Yeah. I want homegrown guys. I don't want to just like sign free agents, make a bunch of trades. I want like some homegrown guys, you know, like Knox and Robinson and stuff like that. That was the part about, you know, Porzingis is, you know, it's like, damn, that was our homegrown guy, but it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And fuck him.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's why so many people got attached to him because they, you know,
it's like, oh, we got like, something good.
He's our guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But
that's what it was. It was more like an emotional like attachment for a lot of people.
Yeah. But yeah, so it is what it is. But back to AD, I think it's interesting what happens behind the scenes because LeBron during the Super Bowl, he actually tweeted out where Shams, Woj, Haynes, I think McMenamin or something like that during the Super Bowl. Basically, he's saying, "Hello, like why hasn't this trade been done yet?" Do you think he forces you know,
that,
magic
yeah.
in Rob's hand, and it's just like, guys, let's go. Four first-round picks, all the young guys, get this done. Like, I need AD here.
What would you do if you were the Pelicans? Would you wait?
If the Lakers are dangling at least four first-round picks, Ingram, Kuz, and Ball, I'm taking that. I'm sorry.
You have to.
Yeah, have to take that. That's a... Talk about a Godfather deal. Yeah.
And they said they were going to give up like Solomon Hill, who's like, you know, pretty much a nobody. But I think he has like a contract that they're... So they're getting rid of a shitty contract,
Ridiculous contract. Yeah, absolutely. If you're the Pelicans, you have to. Just start over. Fuck it. That's a great way to start over.
Yeah. I would wait till the last possible minute on Thursday, the deadline, and then call him up and be like, okay, we're doing it. You know?
Yeah. they
just to mess around with him.
I think they're just so pissed that this happened, and they don't want to appease Anthony Davis. Yeah, exactly. Who clearly wants
that's
to go
exactly,
there.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
exactly what it is.
Yeah, so we'll see.
And they also have see the one where they got Gasol and Conley for Lowry and Jonas
and Valanciunas. Yeah,
yeah.
But who turned it down? The Raptors turned it down, right?
I think the Raptors did. Yeah.
It's which, interesting.
I mean, Lowry is like the heart and soul, but
he's not happy there. So,
yeah.
Oh, no. The Grizzlies, I think, turned it down.
Oh, the Grizzlies turned it down.
Yeah, because the Raptors wouldn't turn that down.
He also has a bad back. He's been like playing like every other game.
Who, Lowry?
Like healthy. Yeah.
And he's not happy there. I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they traded his best friend. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was the Grizzlies, I think, that turned that, you know, turned that down.
I don't know who else could be like moved at the deadline.
I don't know. Where can Conley go? I mean, if Gasol's gonna go to Charlotte, where can Conley go?
You're talking about Utah. That Utah really wants him.
I could definitely see that.
He'd be a good fit there. You got a lot of shooters around them.
What's happening to Rubio?
I don't know. I think he's probably part of the deal.
Oh, he's just injured.
I like him. He's been playing. He's hurt too a lot. So that's the issue.
But so is Conley. I don't know. It's like
the guy had a freaking like broken spine like a year ago.
Yeah,
like the worst injury.
Yeah.
And do you think John Wall could get ever traded for I don't know, a fucking box of Krispy Kremes right now? Like that's like he ruptured his Achilles, bro. That's so bad.
So
that contract. So, unbelievable.
So the rumors that were going on today that he, what was it? He slipped on a hoverboard on his driveway with a bottle of brown liquor in his hand or something.
I believed it when Josh sent it, I was like, no way. I knew it.
I legit believed that for a minute. Like, because I mean, the guy's known for, you know, partying and $40 million a year this guy's making till what? 22 or 20,
oh my gosh.
I mean, it's, you know.
I think it's even more than $20 million a year, no? I think it's like 30.
Oh, yeah. What am I saying? That's what I meant. Oh, no, I thought I said 40 a year.
Is it might be 40, yeah.
Yeah, it's like in the high 30, crazy. 30s. Oh my God.
So I don't know if like they get like an insurance thing, like an exemption, because how the hell are they going to be able to field a team next year? Like, that's even like remotely competitive.
Well, the biggest Wizards fan I know, Joe House of the Ringer. He thinks they should just stretch it out. I mean, that's probably the only logical thing you can do. I mean, what else can you do other than just stretch him and just have to deal with it? Give him a Bobby Bonilla deal or something, you know?
It's his first year, too, next year. Oh. First year! Coming up with, he's going to miss it with the 20 Achilles.
Yeah.
If it was a knee, I'd be like, okay, you know, you can come back from that.
Yeah.
Achilles, man, those are brutal.
Yeah, it's bad, you know, obviously it's bad being a Knicks fan for obvious reasons, but like, you know, being a Wizards fan, I mean, where's your future there? Like, at least the Knicks have some hope for the future. Like, it's real bleak right now if you're a Wizards fan. Like, that is bad.
Right.
Really
bad. If I were the Lakers, I would try and trade for Beal.
Yeah.
I love Beal, man. I think he's a great player.
Get Beal, but obviously if you're trading for
AD. But then I guess that would take you out of AD, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's tough. Unless you offered like Pole Part and like guys like that and like a bunch of picks, and then you keep the big guys for I don't know how that would work. But
yeah, it's going to be interesting how it plays out the next few days. But otherwise, I don't see. I'm trying to think of any other players that have been on trade rumors or on the block or anything. Probably nothing big. If anything happens, it's AD, Gasol, Connelly.
Nah, yeah, that's probably big little guys like you know the Hawks, like Torian Prince, like guys like that, which is like you know.
I heard
that contenders want. I thought like the Rockets should try and get someone, but I don't know who they could really get.
Right.
You know, they picked up Fareed. That's been helping them. He's been playing well for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the Rockets can use that can help them. I saw Jabari Parker rumored to the Lakers too, which.
What?
Yeah, I don't know how it was like KCP for Jabari straight up, or the Bulls are high on KCP. I'm like. Bulls should be, you know, high on tanking. Like, who cares about getting, you know, KCP?
Yeah,
a defensive first point shooting guard. That makes no sense. But Jabari Parker, I mean, he's another one, man. It's just been a complete disaster injury-wise.
Yeah.
I think he's played only 44% in the last 4 years.
Yeah, you can tell he doesn't take it like too seriously. He's always out of shape.
Yeah, yeah, he always looks out of shape.
He has the talent, but he just
Melo will be a Laker.
Yeah,
I think Melo will be a Laker for sure.
Melo, yeah. It's so weird that like, it's like what does he do all day? I'm sure he's training a little bit, but like,
right?
Is he in New York? Is he like,
probably
on like a, you know, on a resort somewhere playing, chilling, or?
I bet he's in
New York. You don't hear his name anymore.
Well, he was at the Knicks game last week, the Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, that was about
game.
It. Yeah,
and then he's probably training with Brickley at Lifetime, you know, on the west side there.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's in New York training, but just waiting for, you know, the waiver wire and or whatever.
They had a thing on First Take today. Would you trade Embiid for Anthony Davis?
No.
You keep Embiid, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. They all said they would do for Davis. Jalen Rose and Kellerman.
Why, though?
Because they're like, Embiid can't defend at the end of games pick and roll. Like, Horford ate him up last year, and Davis, you can't do that. And he's better with, like, his back to the basket. I was like, I don't know, man. Philly, he's like the heart and soul of that team.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah, exactly. He's the heart and soul of that team. Philly loves him. I mean, he's the darling of Philly. You don't ruin that. Like, especially...
Well, you do. To fix your freaking offense that's all clogged up, how about Ben Simmons learns how to shoot a ball outside of 10 feet?
Yeah, they need three-point shooting. If they want any chance of going anywhere, they need more than just J.J. Redick. Who else can shoot a three on that team? I mean, it's Redick. That's it.
Wilson Chandler, a little bit when he's healthy.
But he's hurt now. He's out like...
But he's not even that good of a shooter.
And he's out a few weeks, I think I just saw. So.
Yeah, they really don't have too much.
Does any chance Kyrie gets traded? No chance, right?
No chance. I guess they probably say, you know what, we're going to go for it this year. We have a good chance as anybody to probably win the conference and then, you know, see what happens in the finals. And then, I guess, I don't know, are they going to go for Davis? I mean, he clearly doesn't want to be there. So it's like, stop wasting your time.
I know. And there's some people, some, you know, connected people in the league, they think that Danny Ainge doesn't give a fuck. Like, he's just like, I don't care. Once AD's here, he'll learn to like it, especially playing with Kyrie. But
yeah,
that's too risky, man.
That's a big gamble.
That's a
big ass gamble.
Huge gamble. I wouldn't do it. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting next few days. Otherwise, we'll just wait till the summer for it. But
for sure.
But yeah, hopefully the Knicks look out this summer, but we'll be talking about that more plenty as the weeks go by. Any State of the Union predictions?
Oh, I forgot that's on tonight, right?
Yeah, nine o'clock.
The wall or barrier slats will be mentioned over under 78 times. You know, the economy is the best economy ever.
It's ever
and,
been. Yep, jobs, you know, best it's ever been.
We'll hear a lot of me, me, and I don't know. I hope he has those sniffles going. Remember the speeches we had, like, the Chris?
I'm
sure that'll be going on today.
Yep.
Pelosi will be behind him, right? So she's going to be getting mocked on Twitter.
That's so awkward, man.
It's all types of memes being made. The Republican standing up. It's a comedy show. It really is.
She's probably been training, like, or practicing her facial expressions, because she's going to be, she's going to be right there in the back the whole time. How is she not going to, like, make a, you know, facial expression when he's, you know, because Trump's clearly probably going to, like, do some passive-aggressive, like, bashing of her now, of her and Chuck, like, her and Chucky.
I gotta check FanDuel. I wonder if they have, like, props for, like, State of the Union.
Oh, probably. I gotta think. The main reason I want to watch this is, like, the heckles. Like, I want to hear some, like, Democrats just, like, yell some shit out or something.
Whoa!
Yeah. Like, boo him. Like, that's the main reason I'm listening. Because you know what... Yeah, you just nailed it. You know what he's going to say. So, just a matter of, like, what happens, you know, otherwise.
I'm sure he'll have, like, he'll use, like, kind of, like, props or whatever. Like, a family affected by, like, illegal immigration. You know, all that stuff.
All that good stuff, yeah.
Just a big show.
Yeah.
Big show for everybody.
Yeah.
They all do it. Democrats, Republicans, they're all the same shit.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
What about J Juice and Burger Time and the premiere of Adam?
The Godfather.
Oh yeah, so we'll be getting into that a little later tonight, and anyone listening will hear that next.
Be prepared, man, because Adam's gonna call him with that hot fire.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Long awaited, long anticipated special guest. So. Yeah, man. Thanks for doing this. I know you were down in the tunnels of underground New York City for 12 hours yesterday.
Scariest shit of my life, man. That was insane. So, pretty much the gist of it, I was on the tracks for a training yesterday, last night, and you're literally, like, it's called a niche, like a little opening, you know, on the wall of the subway.
Yeah.
So when the trains come in, the guys, they all yell, like, clear up, clear up. And you have to, like, find, like, these little niches to, you know, get in them, you know, as the train's passing by.
Yeah.
You know, these guys, they really didn't explain too much. Like, they didn't say, like, a train was going to come at all. We thought, like, maybe this wasn't supposed to happen. So all of a sudden, I just get down there. I'm walking down. The guy's like, clear up, clear up. Like, he was, like, panicking. So I'm like, what the fuck? What's going on? And I'm running, like, 20 yards. I couldn't find the niche, like, opening.
Holy shit.
And... yeah, I was like, where do I go? And then I finally found one, and I'd say it's like 8 inches of like a little column, but the one that I had, there was no opening in the back, so like you couldn't like go back further. It was plywood, so I was legit like my nose, it was like 6 inches from the train going by, and I had to wait at 3 trains I had to do this shit for.
Yo.
It was crazy. I was trying to take like a video, but I was like, no, I'm going to die.
So. Yeah, so we were obviously talking about this yesterday, and I was like, you know, people die all the time down in the subways, on the tracks, and you actually, you said that they said, what, 1 a week?
Yeah, the guy said on average it's 1 per week, and he said, that's not the worker, those are customers. I was like, wow. They were like showing videos and pictures of stuff. It was disgusting.
But like people riding the subway, no one's ever died in the training like you did yesterday.
What? Oh, no.
Not in the training. Just like we obviously we hear it all the time in the news and the scanner,
right,
on Twitter.
Yeah, people
like,
jumping. Yeah,
pushed
like that.
Or something. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Homeless people. One, yeah.
Once
workers.
A week.
Yeah. It's insane.
It's fucked
it's crazy.
Up.
Crazy.
Yeah. This it's the rotten apple, man.
It's a different world than down in those you know, the bowels of the city. It's crazy.
I used to do it every day, man. All day, every day. It was never got better. It's only getting worse too.
Got some issues with that for sure.
Alright, Shmo.
Alright, man. Burger time.
Alright, peace. That juice?
What up, Joe?
Oh.
Can I be putting the phone on speaker, or is this good?
I think you sound good.
Okay, good.
I think you sound good, so.
What's up, fellas?
What's good, juice?
How you doing?
You guys enjoy that State of the Union?
Yeah, he didn't talk about the major trade deal. He didn't talk about the Porzingis deal.
I know, I was disappointed.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I didn't watch the State of the Union.
Yeah, you were better off. So, for those who don't know, we have a very special guest, long anticipated guest on the pod. We have Brooklyn Nets superfan and co-host of the Code Purple podcast, Mr. Adam Arecchio, y'all.
Yeah! Wow, that's quite the intro. I'm just happy to be on with you guys, honestly. I've been waiting for this invite for a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you're okay. You're okay. Kind of nice vibe over it.
No, this is great. I mean, we've been wanting you on for a while. And because of scheduling conflicts and Paul and involves subways, and I don't want to get into it, but him and I just spoke earlier, but this is great. A lot going on. Where should we start?
I was going to ask you guys what you thought about the Porzingis trade.
Juice, you go first. I've already exhausted it.
Yeah, I want an unbiased. I mean, I don't know if it's unbiased because I know you're, you know, everybody knows you're a Nets fan, but I think you can give a fair opinion on your thoughts of the deal, initial thoughts when you first heard it, and then after a few days. Like I've had a few days to think about it, and go over things and read articles and let us know what you think. So I think that with the Porzingis trade, the idea of trading Porzingis is not a, like, I understand why they would want to trade Porzingis. You have the injury risk, you have the stuff where maybe he doesn't want to be there, and you have to commit a big contract to him this offseason, most likely. So I get not wanting to make that kind of commitment to a player that's coming off injury, as serious as his, especially at his height. But on the other hand, if you're going to trade a guy that young, that good, he's already shown that he can be a potential franchise player. In my opinion, I don't think you should attach bad contracts to him and kind of devalue him. And then when you go to move him, I mean, yeah, they got Dennis Smith back because he's a pretty decent prospect. They got a couple of picks out of it, and they did get out of salary. But essentially, in my opinion, they kind of traded him for a beanstalk team. I mean, you're basically just rolling the dice on free agency. And if it was me, I would just trade him. I wouldn't have attached the contracts to him. I would have looked to have gotten a similar caliber young player back or some picks, basically.
All right, Juice, you go first because we're getting new news every day, and I think you sent us something earlier about something that Adam is pertaining to trying to get a young piece.
So I'll preface this by saying, I loved Porzingis. He was our guy, like our homegrown. We drafted him. He came here. He started out here. He's our version of like the new Patrick Ewing. We all went to the Nets game, the Knicks-Nets game at Madison Square Garden on December 8th. I bought a Porzingis jersey because I'm thinking, right there, I bought a City Edition Porzingis jersey because I'm like, I can't wait for him to be back. The Garden is going to be crazy. And then I figured, you have that pipe dream hope that Kevin Durant's going to come, but no matter who comes, he's our guy. He's the original guy. Kind of like Steph Curry is the original guy for Golden State. Initially, I thought it was a bad deal because I agree with Adam. Like, if you're going to move him, he's on a rookie deal. He's so young. He's an all-star. He shows, all he has to do is show that he can be healthy. And he's our franchise player. What do we get back? We got nothing back, essentially, because... All right, you got Dennis Smith Jr., but he's not somebody I don't think you can build a franchise around. If anything, he might be the fourth or fifth guy on a really good team.
Yeah, he had a good game tonight. I think he had 23-5-5, but his shooting and his defense are kind of ugh.
Right? But I think they're making this fun now. It seems like every day we're finding out new information. So after a couple of days, I was a little mad that they made the deal. I didn't understand it. Essentially, it's like, you're making a bet. It's a big gamble that two free agents are going to come here when in my lifetime, we've signed nobody. We've never signed a single big-time free agent to come here unless it was, there was some kind of, I don't consider Amari Stoudemire a big free agent yet because nobody wanted him. Phoenix Suns wouldn't even insure his needs. So now you're telling me we've never gotten one. Now you're going to tell me that we're going to get two all of a sudden? It sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But now as we're finding out, as days go by, you find out that they were actually, it sounds like they were talking about all of January, they were scanning the league trying to see who would take Porzingis, see what the interest is. Because I think he was acting strange. He was, he was behaving in a way that kind of led Harry and Mills to believe that he didn't want anything to do with the Knicks. And I've always felt that way. I've always felt that, he didn't want to be here for whatever it was.
No, you did. You've been saying for the longest the Miami Heat, which was not on his wish list. But who was on his wish list, Juice?
It was the San Antonio Spurs,
Yeah.
Which, so, you know, that's fine. I think it's a warm city and, you know, legendary franchise. Interesting enough, the Toronto Raptors were on the list.
The six.
Toronto was on the list. The LA Clippers were on the list. And our guest's favorite team, the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh my God!
Wow.
So let me ask you a question: Do you think that Porzingis, if moved to the Nets, I mean, obviously that's probably a trade that's never going to happen because it's Knicks in the same city. You're going to trade Porzingis to basically your inner city. Not even a rivalry, but you're not going to trade him next door. You know what I'm saying? But do you think he could have got more out of the Nets than he did out of Dallas?
No, because I think what Dallas offered us was the first time ever they cleared every bad contract. They had maximum cap space. Like, I don't know if the Brooklyn Nets would be willing to take back Courtney Lee and Tim Hardaway Jr. and then give up the pick.
Yeah,
I don't know. This will be the biggest evidence of tampering ever if they are able to lure Kevin Durant here, because I don't know. Do you make a deal like this without somebody promising you that Durant's coming?
Well, it's funny because I saw a clip of the jump and Amin Al-Hassan was on, and I heard him on Jalen and Jacoby the other day. He filled in for Jalen. And, I mean, he's convinced. I think he, you know, Amin usually knows things. Same with, like, Stephen A. Smith. Both of those guys are talking. Like, they're convinced this is happening. It's a done deal. Like, KD to the Knicks, it's just a matter of what other free agent he's going to bring with him. Adam, what are your thoughts? I know you're skeptical.
Well, you know what? The trade in a way, it kind of mirrors the trade that the Lakers made when they dumped Mozgov on the Nets and tagging Russell. And everyone was like, oh, man, they're trading a 21-year-old point guard, second-round pick in the draft. What are they doing?
Yeah.
And then, you know, LeBron's there. So maybe LeBron's there the next offseason. So maybe they didn't get Paul George, but maybe they do have an inkling. I mean, maybe they do have an inkling that somebody's coming, whether it's Durant or Kyrie Irving. My guess would probably be Durant, obviously. But the only thing I'm saying about that is, you know, it seems like with the way the league is now, like, things change very quickly. So, like, even if you have that kind of guarantee, I just wonder if you could. I wonder if you could get off those contracts during the draft, or at a different point. And maybe if you're going to trade Porzingis, if you could move him without the contract. That's my only hang up on the trade is did you have to move him with the contract? Could you have gotten out of the contracts in a different trade? And maybe if Porzingis basically is like a standalone asset in a trade, is more valuable, and you get maybe you don't get the relief, but maybe you get a better young player back. Like, if you traded Porzingis straight up without the contracts, like, just to the Nets, let's just say, for example, I would think that the Nets would have given up at minimum Allen and either one of LeVert or Russell. So, like, if you get that back versus I'm just throwing this out there. If you get that back versus Dennis Smith and some picks, I don't know. Maybe you're better off. Maybe you're not. But I guess we'll see. You know,
I think it's a gamble. I think they were going for we are going to put ourselves in position to get Durant. Not only Durant, we're going to get Irving. We're going to be in play for Anthony Davis. They're trying to make this place attractive place and prove to everybody that the culture has changed. I think Scott Perry's done an awesome job cleaning up the dog shit pile that everybody has.
I think so too.
But I agree with you. Like, immediately when I heard that Porzingis was traded, you know, I was like, why? We couldn't get Bagley, we couldn't get Hield, we couldn't get, you know, like Shai from the Clippers. Like, there's so many guys I would want to get. But I think the main goal was to get Porzingis out of here as quick as possible, because now it's hearing that, you know, Dallas is in love with KP, and Dallas wasn't on his initial list, so it sounds like they wanted to just move him out as fast as possible.
But didn't we just find out today? I don't know if it was in the Stein article or somewhere, but the Knicks, they called Utah for Donovan Mitchell. They said no. And they called Sacramento for De'Aaron Fox, and they said no. Or De'Aaron Fox, sorry.
Yeah.
And they said no. So what could they have got? Like, I think if they called the Nets, I think the Nets would have been like, hell no on LeVert or D'Angelo Russell.
You know, you might be right, actually.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm just overvaluing the player. I don't know. I just feel like the Nets also aren't married to Russell, you know, because he's due big money also. I think the other thing to consider with the trade is that, they could make a bad trade and still get, because they were able to clear that space, still get their two players. So, like, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Like, they could have, we made a bad trade, but in the end, we still got Durant and Kyrie. So, both those things could be two separate things. Like, the Lakers may have made a bad trade with Russell. They still got LeBron. So, maybe the end will justify the means.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Speaking of LeBron. Have you guys seen what happened tonight?
Yes. I don't know what it is about LeBron. It's just wherever he goes, there's
toxic
drama.
Didn't Durant say it? Like a toxic environment? He said that. And I mean,
you gotta think, right? He's the best basketball player in the world.
Yeah.
Like, these are his team, and the team is only like 15 guys on a team. They're in talks, and he acts like he's not a part of the talk.
I know.
Not involved in somehow. He's like actively involved in participating in a trade that would send off 8 guys. Wait, and like, how do you show up to practice, or how do you I don't know if he travels with the team, or how is that awkward? We're shopping you guys to get rid of you guys, but then at the same time, I gotta right now play with you guys, hang out with you guys, eat meals with you guys.
Rough business.
It's just so strange. That picture that came out, he's sitting like a good 3 or 4 seats away from everybody by himself.
Yep. And then the chance, when Ingram was at the line. LeBron's gonna trade you or something, and and then did you see Mo Wagner he falls, or him and Lance clash for a rebound and he falls to the ground.
I did see that.
And Lance doesn't
even
pick him up, he just turns and walks away, and they lose by 42 points. Well, it's yeah,
JaVale McGee gets on the line and they're all chanting not trade worthy.
Really? I didn't see that one.
That's awesome. That's like a college crowd chanting like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, Pacers, man. Shouts to Indiana. Shouts to Booger. That's great, man.
Yeah. I kind of thought they'd fade a little bit after the Oladipo injuries, but they did okay.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was brutal one.
I don't know. I personally think that New Orleans should have pulled the trigger, because that was a haul, that last offer. I mean, you're talking about every asset that the Lakers have. There's nothing else to offer.
Well, it's up like 4 picks, 4 first-round picks, plus the young guys. I think the Pelicans don't want any of these old, they had Rondo already. They don't want Lance. They don't want Beasley. You know what I mean? Like,
the latest offer was like Zubac. It was Ingram, Ball, Kuzma, 2 picks. I think the hang-up was, they're being greedy. They're, the Pelicans are just trying to straight up just rob them. I heard a rumor that they were asking for, 5 picks, 6 picks. It's crazy. On top of all of that. Lakers are just not going to engage in this anymore.
Yeah.
But it makes you wonder if they even want to trade him to the Lakers.
They don't.
I don't think they do.
They want to trade him to, I don't know, the Grizzlies. They want to trade him to, the worst, the Wizards, the worst possible scenario, I'm sure. They got to be pissed.
I don't know, if Anthony Davis doesn't get traded to the Lakers, I don't know how he gets to the Lakers, honestly. Because LA goes into the offseason with the cap space, and I don't think they're going to sit on that cap space.
No.
So if they can't trade for Davis, they're going to have to sign somebody else. And once they sign somebody else, it kind of
you know, Davis is really going to wait it out, they won't have the money to sign him. So maybe that's where the leverage comes in for the Pelicans, where they're, well, you know, the Lakers don't have a choice. If they want Davis, they have to give us what we want,
yep.
Or they're not going to get Davis. So
I don't even know what Boston would offer, but is like a potential deal with Boston better?
It's a risk.
I think Boston has a ton of picks.
But it's so risky.
And, you know, if Tatum's out there, I think Tatum's probably the best asset, right?
Yeah, he is. Yep.
Yeah, I would rather than anybody else on the Lakers, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the Knicks tried. They dangled Porzingis at the Pelicans, and they said hell no. So the league knows. They're aware of, I think half the league, at least, is like hell no. They know KP is, you know, glass man.
My whole thing is, like, if you're going to offer that much for Anthony Davis, like, you're offering six players and picks and all that stuff, can you offer that around the league and get other players as well, or bits and pieces of that deal? You know what I mean? Like, why couldn't they offer something like that? Like, right now, Washington is like, in the lowest point they could be. They just found out that John Wall ruptured his Achilles. Like, maybe you got to sell on Bradley Beal and just get what you can and kind of, like, rebuild.
I think
Beal would be a good fit with the Lakers, for sure.
Yeah, actually, Paul said
that earlier. I
would
like to see Beal away from that team also. Yeah, definitely.
Paul said that earlier. I could definitely see that.
The thing is, you think that...
I was just saying, I heard a rumor that Marc Gasol and Conley was discussed for Lowry and Jonas Valanciunas.
And the Grizz said no, right?
Yeah, I think the Grizzly said no.
Yeah, Grizzly said
no. I think I read something that Gasol is close to going to Charlotte, actually.
He is.
Like it's really close.
He is, and Gasol was actually, he left after, like, a little after halftime, I guess, of their game against the T-Wolves tonight, and was not happy. So, I mean, it's tough, you know? His whole career was with, like, that one franchise, and what is he, 34 years old? You know, he's our age, and now he's, you know, going to a bottom East team. Not bottom, but, you know, kind of like fringe East team. I don't know. But...
I think the return they were saying was a first round pick in Malik Monk, which I think is a pretty decent return
for an older player like Gasol. I heard Zeller or Biombo and Kidd Gilchrist. So if it's a first and Monk,
okay,
that's a nice one.
That's what I read anyway. So.
Yeah,
and Monk's been good the last five games, double digit points every single night. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that would be a good haul for the Grizz, in my opinion. Yeah, it's going to be interesting with the AD trade. I mean, I don't know. What do you do? If you're the Pelicans, you don't trade him by the deadline. Are they just going to sit him out like the rest of the year?
Yeah, it's awkward. And you can't do that because the Players Association, like, if he's healthy, they have to play him. You can't not play him.
So awkward. You know they took him out of his out of their, like, video montage and or whatever. I saw, yeah. Like, ugh, what an ugly situation, man. So crazy.
I think they're gonna trade him. I don't think they're gonna trade him to Lakers, but I think they'll trade him by the deadline. I think they're gonna trade him to an East team or something.
I like him on the Bucks, but I just don't see who the Bucks, you know, was Middleton.
Right, what goes back?
Yeah, Middleton. You know, a couple of firsts, maybe even more than that, and then
the problem with that is if you trade him to, like, say, a Toronto or Milwaukee. The picks are late first rounders.
That too.
Are very good.
Yeah. That too.
The picks are worth it almost.
But I think Toronto is kind of interesting. There's a package of, like, Siakam, a newbie, maybe Van Fleet, a couple of first rounders, probably salary cap relief, or something like that. Maybe it's not as good as the Laker package, but at least you get two good players that are pretty young.
I like those players. I like those players a lot.
You know, like, and then for if you're Toronto, you're really going all in with two guys that might not stick around. But
seriously, and Lowry's not happy there. Like, I don't know what you know. I don't know.
They traded his best.
I mean, trade his best friend. So, you know, he's pissed off.
He hasn't been playing much either, right? I'm not sure what's going on with that. Adam, yeah. what do you think? Do you think D'Lo, D'Loading, D'Angelo? Do you think he re-signs with the Nets? Yeah, I'm a big fan, man.
I don't know. I don't think that the Nets. So obviously he's been playing really well. I just get this vibe that they're not like in love with him.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know, they signed Dinwiddie, and he's got a reasonable contract. I think they love LeVert, and he's still on his rookie deal. Obviously, Russell's a good player. There's some red flags. The fact that he doesn't get to the rim, and the fact that he lives in mid-range, I think the Nets are kind of more analytically driven, so I think that kind of drives them nuts. But I mean, he's putting up really good numbers. He's making it threes. He's a really good passer. He really is.
Oh, exceptional.
His defense never really. He's just a little dude. You know what I mean? Like he's taller, but like he just can't really. He's not quick enough to stay with guards. He's not big enough. If you get switched on a bigger player, it's over. So I think it's really going to come down to the number and the way he's playing. I would not be shocked if they traded him by the deadline.
Whoa!
But yeah, it would not shock me. But having said that, when push comes to shove, I think they'll wait till the off season. I think they have a max spot, so I think they're gonna if they come to agreement with Russell, I think it'll be early. But I don't think he'll sign anything because they can go over to Cap to sign him, and I think they'll look to get a free agent, and then from there try to re-sign Russell, and then kind of lock into that group.
Yeah.
And the other thing about Russell, he's only 22, so.
Yeah, he's still so young. But that was my next question. Who, you know, out of the big free agents, I've been saying Jimmy. You know, I think that's the free agent. The big five or six that are out there that the Nets actually have a good shot of signing. I mean, is there anyone that you see the Nets have a good shot of signing?
Yeah, I think they're a dark horse for Kawhi Leonard only because of the Spurs ties with Marks. And, you know, the whole Uncle Dennis being from East Orange and all that stuff. And I think they might be a dark horse for him. And if they don't end up with Leonard, I think they're going to be knocking on Tobias Harris's door on July 1st. I think they'll be at the doorstep, honestly.
That'd be a good one.
They're going to look to try to add him. It might be an overpay, but if the team is good and if LeVert makes the leap and, you know, if they win, say, 45 to 48 games, if they can add Harris as a stretch power forward to what they have, I think that would be great for them, and I think that would be kind of ideal.
Yeah, that would. I mean, Tobias is a local prodigy. I mean, he's a local guy too, right? He Long Island kid, so
local guy.
Yeah, comes home.
Local ties. He could shoot it. They love three pointers. He's kind of the prototype for like the new age power forward.
Yeah,
probably be a good fit next to Allen. That's what I think they would do if they can't get a guy like Kawhi. I don't think they'll be in the mix for like the Durant and the Kyrie. Maybe Jimmy Butler. I don't think we'd even look at Jimmy Butler, honestly, because they stress culture, and a guy like Jimmy Butler is just every stop he goes to is just you know. So I would love Butler. I think he's a great player. I just don't think he'll go that route.
Well, if you put Kawhi or Tobias Harris at the four, with Allen at the five, LeVert at the three, and then if you're able to sign Russell, have him and Dinwiddie in the backcourt, and then you have what, Harris off the bench.
I think it would go Dinwiddie to six. I think you would have Russell, Harris, LeVert, let's say Tobias Harris, and then Jared Allen, and then you have off the bench, you have Dinwiddie, you have Karuks, you have Musa from last year, and you kind of go from there, and you have a couple picks in this draft, and you hope that's enough with internal growth to get you a little bit better.
That's a fun team. I'd watch that.
Yeah, for sure.
I like that team a lot. You know, you just gotta hope these young guys just get better and better.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Marks, Kenny Atkinson, they've done a remarkable job. I mean, they've dealt with the losing seasons. They kind of waited it out until the picks came back to them. And just making these like smart deals to get D'Angelo Russell, picking up Spencer Dinwiddie, it's awesome. Like, I'm rooting for Brooklyn to be good because
I mean, it's just more fun. You want, like, I want the Knicks to be good. I want Brooklyn to be good. I want it to be a real rivalry where both arenas are just, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think this area is starving for some good basketball. So I think having a couple of good basketball teams would be fantastic. With the Nets, they really did a good job, like you said. They found players that were kind of on the fringes, like a guy like Joe Harris, who was, you know, a second round pick. Danny Ainge coming off the injury. And now, I think the big thing for them this offseason is because they're going to probably lock into a group. And if they don't get one of the big-name guys, it's going to be one of those. They might lock themselves into that 3-4-5 range in the East where you can't really get to the finals. And it's not a great place to be. And at that point, what I like about Mark is if you keep hitting on these draft picks later in the draft, then at least you have ammunition going forward to make some kind of trade and stay flexible, or else you get stuck in the middle like a team like Washington or Portland or something like that.
So yeah.
It's a big offseason for them. I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. It seems like Duke is on TV every single time they play. Would you trade, I mean, if somebody is like, someone like the Knicks, right? If you're in a position where you have cap space and you want to lure all the free agents, if you land a number one pick, would you trade that for Anthony Davis, or do you just hold on to Zion and hope that he's the next, you know, Charles Barkley, you know, freak athlete coming?
So I'm going to be brief on this, and it's a no for me. Zion is the best college prospect since Durant. I'm not trading that away. Like, you know, 5 minutes later.
It's not. And I'll let Adam answer too, but. It's not just trading for the player itself. It's like you trade away Zion to get AD with the hopes that AD comes with Kyrie or AD comes with Durant.
Right. Right. You get the three of them, and then game over. But I don't know. It's a tough one. What do you think, Adam?
I would rather keep the pick. I think with Zion, I mean, he's shooting like 70-something% in the ACC. It's hard to win a championship, right? It's hard to win a championship, but like it would be fun to watch Zion, like at the Garden, yeah. Like the buzz, like him just flying through the air catching all you. Like,
yeah,
I just like that versus Davis, and you know what? For me, you have the rookie contract also for 4 years, so you have to pay him a ton of money, and. I don't know. I think it's hard to imagine him not being a good player. I don't know how good he'll be, but it's hard for me to. I mean, he's just so dominant and so athletic. Outside of an injury, I don't see how he's not a good player. So I would keep him. Okay.
And he's got the motor, man. Like he works hard. Like he genuinely like works hard. He's not like one of these cocky, you know, just you know cut corners. Like he's busting his ass out there. Like. Going for rebounds like over and over again and playing both ends of the court and I would hate to like not see that at the Garden, you know. This and plus we want more homegrown players, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
How about you, Jeff?
I think I would keep Zion. I'm with you guys. Just because I would like see, like, hopefully Zion himself is enough that would attract someone like a Kevin Durant, Kyrie to come and change things in New York. But and then they can also, you know, kind of groom him up to be a star player as well. But yeah, I'm on this side. Like, it's an unpopular take, but I'm on the side that says that Anthony Davis is overrated. Like, why doesn't he win more with that team? And like, I don't believe that the whole storyline of his team's bad and doesn't have talent, because like I look at them and they're not even close to the playoff picture. But then you look at like someone like Portland, and Portland doesn't have stars either. They have Damian Lillard is a star, but then they have CJ McCollum, and you know, and then just a bunch of pieces, you know, like, you know, they're a bunch of role players. Some are really good role players, but they're the fourth seed in the West. Like, how come they win, but Anthony Davis is not great enough to will some wins together, you know?
Yeah. I think I think it's a few factors. Obviously, it's coaching, it's culture. There's so many different factors. I feel like than just being a great player, you know, or maybe he's just a compiler. Maybe that's what he is. He just you know, gets.
So I kind of have a little bit of a theory on this that I'd like to mention.
I think
in 2019, 2018, 2019, you know, going forward, I think it's hard to win if your best player is a big man. I think it's just that simple. I think you know, you watch like a team like the Rockets, they can go 12-5 with nobody on the roster. It's hard to bring it all.
Yeah.
You know, and just basically get into line, draw fouls whenever he wants. Anthony Davis has to wait for a guy to get the ball. I think it might be that simple. Davis could be like the best number two in the league, but if you're number one, you're center, and you're probably not going to get there. And I love Davis the same way I love Towns. I don't know if you're going to win Towns as your best player. I think it's kind of I think that's where you're at, honestly.
And maybe. Maybe you could say the same for the Sixers, but they have Ben Simmons, who has the ball in his hand. And then
they have Simmons, they have Butler right now. They at least have guards that are, you know, probably.
It's a guard driven. I hate to say it. It really is like a guard driven league. It seems like, you know, or you know, you just need. I think your best player to have the ball in his hands, like a LeBron. You know, that's why the Cavs are there. We're there every year, and then Steph Curry, who I still think is the best point guard in the league. So those are, you know, any team LeBron's on and the Warriors, those are the two best teams every year, right? So
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and I think the Nets get that. Kenny Atkinson gets that. You know, he's all about the ball handler, right? I mean, that's what he.
Yeah. I mean, if it was in his perfect world, I think he would have Jared Allen guys that could basically play point guard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't know. It's but that's a good theory. I like that because yeah, I mean, he's got to get the ball down. And who's their point guard right now? I mean, it's not Jrue Holiday. Who's the Pelicans' point guard? Tim Frazier.
I think Elfrid Payton just came back.
Oh, I forgot about Elfrid
Payton. Frazier. It's a weird collection of just kind of random dudes, honestly. And I guess Holiday's going to call him a point guard. To me, yeah, he's more of like a wing. I mean, Holiday's a good player too. Yeah, they do have some good players on that roster.
Yeah.
Well, it is weird that they're bad.
Well, they were playing good last year, right? With playoff Rondo?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So, that's right. I don't know. It's a tough one.
It's going to be a nice to watch in Seattle in about
3 to 5 years. Yeah. No, we talked about this on the last pod. Like, they're probably moving to Seattle at this point. If they lose AD, forget it. You know? It's what else, you know? If they can't. They can't fill the seats with him, you know. They're never going to. So.
And Durant could spend his twilight in Seattle after he went to title of the day.
Yeah, there you go. I love it.
Go back to where it started.
Yeah. Scott Perry was actually on that staff that drafted Durant. So there's another.
Oh, no, okay. Yeah,
there you go.
Okay.
All comes full circle. Time is a flat circle.
My dark horse team to make a big trade or a big move, and I don't know what it's going to be. Oklahoma City Thunder. I just feel like Sam Presti is always scouring the NBA to see what deal he can make to elevate this team. Like, he has George, he has Adams, he has Westbrook, even though Westbrook's having a horrendous shooting year. I feel like he knows that outside of the Warriors, the West is up for grabs. I'm looking for them to make a splash.
What do they give up for AD?
I don't know about for AD.
I thought you were talking about AD. Oh, okay.
No, not about AD, but...
You're talking about this summer.
You know, someone big that, yeah.
Huh. Interesting. I haven't really thought about them. I mean, Clay? I feel like the Lakers are going to go hard after Clay. His dad, I guess, is on the announcing team and obviously played for the Lakers. So...
I actually was thinking about this on Sunday night. Like, I was watching, you know, you watch the Super Bowl, you watch the Patriots. They won 6 rings, and, you know, they just, you know, you don't get tired of winning championships. So I just thought about the Warriors. Like, are they really about to just win this title this year and then break up? Like, I know Clay is a free agent this year, but if the Warriors offer him a max, like, why is he going to go to the Lakers?
Adam, go ahead on this.
So I think there's definitely a scenario where the Warriors kind of go to Clay and kind of go to Durant if they had won just one another title. You know, Boogie obviously they can't pay.
Right.
But I mean, there's definitely a scenario where they're like, okay, we're gonna max Clay, and we're gonna max KD. We'll explain to KD that he's got to stay, and we love you. I rub his back a little bit. And then they Draymond's the odd man out, and they try to trade him ahead of his free agency, since he's on the decline already. I definitely think that scenario is in play. But for Clay, I agree. Like, why not just keep winning titles? But then on the other side, for Clay, you know, at what point do you want to just see what you can do? You know what I mean? Like we've seen him score, you know, 38 and a quarter. We've seen him score, like, you know, games with 50 points where he's had, like, five dribbles.
Yeah.
You know, me personally, maybe just, you know, I'm not in his head, but if I was him, I would say, hey, man, if I was the number one guy in the team rather than just kind of like playing with Collins and Draymond and Durant, I could probably lead the NBA in scoring, you know, that kind of thing. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what happens.
He would be amazing with LeBron, because LeBron just knows how to find people on the court, and he would just, yeah. I mean, I don't know if he would elevate Clay, or either way, I think it'd be a great fit. So, like, a LeBron,
yeah,
Clay, AD trio, whew, that would be something. I don't know. I feel like Clay, though, seems like a loyal dude. I don't see him leaving. Durant, just, he's about his brand, I think. So, I don't know.
But, like, I think, like, after a while of winning, like, if they win this year, this will be Klay Thompson's fourth title. Like, after a while, you just get used,
yeah,
to success, winning. Like, if he goes to the Lakers, he'll be the second or third option.
Which he is now.
Probably what.
Yeah.
Which he is now,
yeah,
if Durant leaves.
So there's no point. Yeah.
So, think about it. If Durant leaves, and I'm making this up, say he goes to New York, right? A team of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond, and then now you open up, like, a spot where, you know, their young guys can develop, or they go and get another guy. They're still the favorites to win the championship. Like,
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, true.
And so, I don't, it's interesting. But yeah, like, Draymond is next season. Klay and Durant are this season. So I don't know. I kind of see that they're going to make this run happen. And then after that, I think they might be breaking up. I've also heard that there's been a lot of drama in that team. Like, I heard the last year's championship, people have said nobody will ever understand what it took to win that championship, because there was so much, like inside the locker room fighting and the teammates still,
yeah,
you know, weren't getting. So
I believe it. Draymond's,
yeah, like,
probably right in the middle,
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I would say, it made me think of, like Pat Riley's, like, disease of me, or disease of more. You know, if you start winning titles, after a while, it becomes one about me. And with a guy like Klay Thompson, maybe it's not about numbers, because he could probably go to L.A., be the second option, or go to N. See, the thing about him is he can go somewhere and maybe elevate his own personal brand, so to speak. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, he just seems like another guy on that team. I know he's awesome, but, like, you know, we have Curry and Durant. Oh, yeah, there's Klay Thompson too, and Draymond. And he's so low maintenance on the court, because, like, his usage is so low. He could basically fit in any system. So, really,
yeah,
he can go wherever he wants. So I don't know. Again, maybe he's just like, all right, I'm just going to stay in the Bay Area, just keep winning titles,
yeah,
take a bunch of three-pointers. Yeah. So I don't know, really.
Barkley calls him the best two-way player in the game. I mean, he is probably, would you say,
yeah,
a top-five defender?
There, sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's excellent defender. Great size. I love him. I think he's a great player.
Yeah, I think those teams, they don't get enough credit for the sacrifices they've all kind of made. Even Curry, I think, just to make everything happen there.
Oh, I still think Steph Curry's, like, well, he's my favorite player to watch in the league. And, I mean, he's on pace to have another 40-50-90 season, averaging almost 30 a game. He's just incredible. Like, I wouldn't call him underrated, because he's won two MVPs, but he just, people forget to talk about him sometimes. He's just so good. I can't. It's, yeah.
Yeah, he's the scariest guy. Yeah. Like, by, you know, I'm more scared of playing him than any other player in the NBA right now. He's like Reggie Miller, you know, all over again. Like, when the Knicks were playing the Pacers,
everybody was scared that Reggie Miller would just go off. And I've seen it where when he's in the zone, it's unconscious. Like, it's like throwing the ball in the ocean, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Steph can beat you anywhere on the floor. I mean, there's not many players who can do that, you know? Like Clay.
You guys think he's the best point guard of all time?
No.
I'll say this. I think he's the best, or when he retires, he will go down as the greatest shooter of all time. I won't say best point guard because he's not a pure point guard, really. He's a good passer. I mean, he averages like 5-6 assists, I think, for his career. But pure point guard, you probably got to give that to Magic right now. I wouldn't say Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd's a good argument. Isaiah.
I think Magic too, actually.
I think it's got to be Magic. But greatest shooter of all time, I think Steph definitely has a good chance at that. He might already be that, to be honest with you. If he's a 40, 50, 90 shooter for his career, I mean, has anyone done that for their career? I don't think so. Yeah. So if he's the first to do that.
Larry Bird? Yeah, he's had 40, 50, 90.
For his career, I mean.
Oh, for the career? No.
Yeah, for the career. No. Like, I don't know if he has a shot at that, but if he does, whew, that's just insanity. So that'd be something to watch out for. And he's probably got a good, I don't know, 8 more years. I feel like I could see Steph playing a long, long time. He's got the type of game I think he can play, you know, late 30s.
Yeah, I think he's going to age well as long as he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as he keeps knocking that down.
Whereas, like, Westbrook.
Yeah. He's going to get around for a little bit.
Whereas, like, Westbrook, he's not going to age well.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Anything on the Super Bowl? You know, Paul and I didn't go too much into it, but for obvious reasons, it was just kind of, not very memorable. But you guys got anything?
I didn't sniff a box. I wasn't in the area code of winning a bot, but
Juice did.
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. It was fine.
Juice won.
No, I didn't. It was all right. I didn't win anything. But I think. I guess. Which one did you hit?
No, I said I hit first quarter.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. 0-0.
Oh my god, that was a snoozer for sure. And then you got like guys like Trey Wingo and, you know, these football purists like, that game was amazing, defense. Like, I could care less, but yeah, I mean, anything, I mean, Brady greatest ever, Belichick greatest ever, yada yada yada. I mean, it's just, you know, at least you Giant fans have the two, you know, the two Super Bowls on them. So
yeah, we got them.
Yeah. And the Jets, though, we were the last team to keep them out of the AFC Championship. So we got that on them.
Oh, has it been that long? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was like a decade ago, but it still happened. So fucking crazy. But, yeah.
You can't deny Brady or Belichick anymore at this point.
No, I'm numb to it.
They're just, you know.
I'm just numb to it. Yeah, it's just... They've defined the odds of what a sports franchise can do. You know.
Yeah, you know, I think the really great thing about the Patriots over the years is they've had so many different like iterations of that team.
Yeah.
Like he's like one year Brady's got 50 touchdowns, and next year, you know, they're rushing for 2,000 yards with a bunch of running backs.
Yep.
You know, this year was all about, you know, in the playoffs it was all about kind of the defense, the running game and that kind of stuff. So you gotta give Belichick credit for just being able to adjust to whatever personnel he has on his team.
Yeah. And did you guys see Brady and Belichick embrace each other once? Like once. Like the whole playoff run, Super Bowl, anything. I didn't see them talk, nothing. Not even acknowledge each other. It's incredible.
I saw them hug really quickly. Like it was like a triple hug. Like him, Edelman, and Brady. And that was about it.
Yeah. Yeah, his little brother, Jules! I love you, Jules! Like, that's like his, what do you call him? Like his brother he never had or something like that?
Yeah.
I think the ratings were awful. The game was boring. I mean, the defense is, I appreciate good defense, but like at the same time, I want to see some touchdowns. Like, the Rams got in the red one time, I think. the Patriots, maybe another one time, one or two times. Like, I don't know. It's just pathetic. I don't know. I think both teams played bad, to be honest. And if we had another team, like if the Saints were in there, it would have been a different ball game.
Oh, for sure.
Sure.
It would have been a lot better game. Unfortunately, we got what we got, and, you know, it is what it is.
I think the Rams are going to be back. I think they're going to be good for a while.
They will be.
Aaron Donald.
We'll never know.
Hopefully find out.
Go ahead.
No, I was about to say, I think what you were about to say is, like, what's going on with Todd Gurley?
Yep, that's exactly what I was about to say. Yep.
Hopefully find out.
He had to be hurt, right?
It has to be.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Something's going on.
It can't be like a Malcolm Butler last year where Belichick just like benched his ass. And, you know, I it was for discipline reasons, I think. Like it can't be something like that. McVay wouldn't do that. Like he doesn't seem like that type. But
I'm kind of thinking it was kind of like he was hurt, but we're gonna make it like he's not hurt, so the game plan for him kind of deal. It's just like an extra thing I can worry about practice, and then I kind of think that's kind of how that went.
Yeah,
we're gonna find out that he's still in for surgery or something crazy.
Yeah, something like that.
They may as well reveal that because I mean, there's not a ton of them, but there's a lot of Rams fans out there who are like. Obviously devastated by that pathetic performance. Like, at least ease their you know their pain with like, oh well, our best player was hurt. Okay, feel better about that.
Yeah,
I don't know, but
you think Gronk retires?
He should. Why not retire on top, man? You're the greatest tight end of all time.
I've been saying it all year that I think he is going to retire, but like towards the end of the year. They just use him as an extra offensive lineman. He's a really, really underrated blocker. He blocks really well. I think they'll just use him for that. And then when you get into these big games, like the playoff games, it's like they take him out and then they roll him out. Like you almost forget about Gronk and then you roll him out and then he makes a big play. Like the last three games.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Three games was the best games he's had all year, and it's like he doesn't get the ball thrown to him in the other game.
No, I think I said
like Jason, kind of like a late career Jason Witten kind of thing going on the next couple of years, something like that. Yeah, I could see that.
I think I was joking. I don't know if it was on the last spot or whenever. I definitely had said it, but like. You almost don't even play him like the first 10 games of the season or something, you know? Like you're going to be in it anyway.
Just
bring him out there and, you know. And yeah.
So what about the Jets in the off season?
It looks like Le'Veon.
I feel like they got a ton of money. They got a good draft pick. I feel like things are looking up for the Jets.
Yeah, well, Le'Veon Bell and Jamal Adams were flirting with each other on Twitter just yesterday.
I saw that.
Yeah, Jamal's doing McCagnan's job, which is pretty funny. if we get Le'Veon and you know Sam second year. New coach, you know, more offensive driven philosophy and hitting the draft. And yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know, it's tough to be optimistic when the Pats just won their sixth Super Bowl, but and you know, Brady and Belichick aren't going anywhere. But, you know, all you can do is hope. So just like the Giants.
Yeah, I think they could get pretty good pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah. And the Giants too, you know, just the quarterback. Conundrum, you know, what are the Giants doing? Are you guys both Eli's or the non-Eli's?
I'm all the way out on Eli. I couldn't get any further out.
Yeah, there's some people attacking you on Twitter. We won't mention them, but
there's a lot of Eli truthers out there. I don't really know. I don't know how you watch Eli Manning and think he's going to win the Super Bowl with him. He just looks like an old dude that just takes a lot of hits and throws a lot of interceptions.
Yeah.
His numbers at the end, they don't look bad. But, I mean, I think at some point, what are you going to do? Just keep Eli for another 2 years and then figure it out? I don't know. If it was me, I would draft Askin or draft the guy in the second round. I don't know about Josh, but
Who would you do, Juice?
I've gone on record. I would have taken the quarterback last year, and now we're stuck with a bunch of quarterbacks that are, you know, we don't know what they are. I think Haskins, I saw Haskins play one game, to be honest. And that one game, he looked tremendous. I don't know, though. If they're not sold on a quarterback, I want to get the biggest, meanest defensive end or tackle that they have in the draft. I think it's a defensive line-heavy draft. Or just get a massive offensive tackle. You can't go wrong with building up the offensive line. I mean, we just saw New England Patriots, you know, an offensive line. Like, nobody ever talks about them, but, you know, they played pretty damn good in blocking Sue and Donald.
Yeah.
And
always solid. Yeah. Always solid. That's a great point you just brought up. In these 18 years, I mean, it's been Brady, Belichick, but it's also been this offensive line. It's always, always solid. Always. Like, it's not talked about enough.
Yeah, you know, I kill Eli, but they need a lot of help in a lot of spots. Like, they definitely need offensive line. Even though the line was kind of better at the end of the year. But they definitely need offensive line help. And defense, they don't have any pass rushers, I feel like. I think they definitely need a pass rusher.
Yeah. Well, Vernon was hurt, wasn't he, a lot of the year?
Yeah, somehow we made the Pro Bowl. I don't really understand the Pro Bowl.
Oh, I just... Like, it's the worst. It's by far the worst. I don't know a second of it.
I saw the Giant tweeted out, like, congratulations to Olivier Vernon for making the Pro Bowl. And I'm like, man, I feel like everybody's yelling at Olivier Vernon all year.
Yeah.
He's either being hurt or playing bad. But, all right, whatever.
Yeah, he was probably filling in for, you know... They gave it to one guy. He didn't want to play in it. They gave it to another guy. He's hurt. And then they're like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, grabbing for straws here. Anything else you guys want to plug, talk about?
I want predictions from Adam since he's our guest of honor. We got him on the line. Give us who's going to win the number one draft pick and give us where the top three agents are landing.
NBA. Free agents
this offseason,
NBA. Okay.
Or wait. Or should we save it? I feel like we need to do one of these in person closer to the summer. Or
cool. That'd be fun, too.
Should we hold it?
Or yeah, it's just change it 100 times.
What's
that? How about a trade deadline prediction?
All right, there you go.
Okay.
So, I'll say... For the Knicks, I think they'll find a way to get another draft pick out of one of their players. Maybe Cantor.
Yes.
Maybe not a first, but maybe like a second round pick.
I was hoping you'd say that.
For the Nets, I'll say they'll get a plug-in power forward. Somebody that's probably going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And they'll use either the Denver first-round pick or the Knicks second-round pick to get it. Maybe a guy like Miracic or something like that, like something along those lines. Somebody that doesn't eat any cap space.
Okay.
Okay. Solid.
I like it.
How about you guys?
Juice, you go.
Tony, you go.
Oh, okay. I'll go first. Yeah, I think Cantor, I mean, I don't think he played a second tonight. He's at the end of the bench, shirt on. Like, I got to think they talked with him and they're like, all right, we're trading you. You know, don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I think they get back like a second round pick or they get nothing basically for him, but that's fine. And then, I don't know. I feel like obviously this Gasol trade I see happening, but... I feel like the AD trade doesn't happen, and then it's just a big question mark of what next. And then other than that, I don't see... Oh, maybe Conley to... What did Paul say? Paul said the Jazz, possibly. I haven't seen that rumor, but that's a good fit, I think, with that team.
I like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. How about you, Juice?
I don't think the Knicks make any more moves. I know there's a lot of rumors that the Knicks would move Frank, but I think they're going to hold on to him, and he might be part of a bigger trade later on. I think the Knicks are done. The Nets? See, the Nets, I know that they've lost three in a row, but I think overall they've been playing some really good basketball. I don't think they're going to mess with it right now. I think they have two picks. I think they're going to sit tight. I'd be shocked if they traded D'Angelo Russell. I think this is like the one. I mean, he left the Lakers, and now he's coming to Brooklyn. He's found some success. Like, he should embrace that and just do whatever they ask. Big trades. I think Gasol's going to get moved. He didn't play tonight. Other than that, I don't know. I think it might be quiet.
One more wild card. I'll say Aaron Gordon. I think he might get traded. All right, keep going.
Aaron Gordon. That'd be good. I think, listen, teams need to shake it up. Like, there's one team that's going to win the championship. Everybody else, you need to, you know, play for the future and build your team out. Everybody should be talking to everybody, and everybody should be healing. But I think Oklahoma City and Houston, they need to make a move. They need to grab somebody and try to compete.
That's a good point. Yeah, both those teams need, like, a third piece somehow. But Chris Paul, I mean, he can't even stay healthy, so I feel like the Rockets are doomed. But the Thunder, they're right there, man. That's a good team right there.
Yeah, if they got one more piece, they'd be pretty good.
Yeah, they could compete, I think, if they get just one more piece. I don't know who that piece is, but we'll see. Whether it's via trade or free agency. Guys, we just went an hour. Holy shit.
All right.
That was great.
Hey, listen, thanks for inviting me. That was a lot of fun. I had a blast.
Thanks for coming on.
I want to come back.
Thanks for coming on. You're definitely welcome to come back anytime you want. I'm enjoying the Code Purple podcast, by the way.
I was going to say, you guys could come on the Code Purple contest, Code Purple podcast, and we could talk about like protein shakes or something.
Yeah, or we could talk about running. How about we do that? Let's talk about running.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Juice is running the New York City half. I ran in New York City. Boom.
Yes. It's a date.
Cool. Just let us know when, you know, let us know when and we're there. That'd be fun.
Yeah, let's do it after Josh finishes the race. We could do like a little marathon podcast.
Yeah, when is that? Is it March?
Yeah.
Juice?
St. Patrick's Day, March 17th.
Oh, wow. I can't believe they have it the same day. Yeah, I remember you were telling me that it's on the same day. So
that sounds like a nice little Saturday.
Cool.
I think it's
that'll be fun. All right, fellas.
Yes.
Have a good night. Ciao.
You too. Good night.
You're welcome. You're welcome.